Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you today from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, who comes to us today to comfort and guide and lead us. This week, as I was cleaning out bookshelves and binders, folders and files, I came across something I haven't seen probably since we moved into this building. And that was the beginning of my internship journal, with the first date being August 22nd, 1982. That was the first service that I led at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Hermosa, South Dakota. I had come in the middle of August, loaded up all of my belongings in my 1976 Ford Granada. Those were the good old days, everything in one car, and unloaded them in the mobile home that was next to the little church there in Hermosa. And so began, really, I count that as sort of the beginning of my pastoral ministry. I noted that on that first Sunday, as soon as and I wouldn't work today because I would have missed the first couple innings, as soon as the benediction was proclaimed, I was out the door down the hill to play in the local softball tournament. And wondered in my journal if that was how it was supposed to be. I thought this was not in the seminary handbook. But the parishioners thought it was pretty cool that the preacher got out of church in a hurry and got down to the softball field. On day two, there were some private pinings that I will not share with you. I had begun dating a woman that spring back in the Twin Cities, and we had been talking all summer about what's going to happen when I go west, and she's got a job there, and so talking about how I missed her and wondering what would happen with this relationship. And then a month later, she moved to Rapid City. We got engaged that year, and this past weekend, we celebrated our 39th anniversary. So that came out pretty well. That was cool. And then day three. Now, some of you are going, oh, my gosh, we're just going to go through this day 40 years, day two, day 2761. No, I promise not. But on day three of my internship, I made some comments about an article I read about from a bishop in the church about what he had hoped pastors would understand about their calling and thereby what congregations might understand about their mutual calling with the pastor. And he declared that a pastor ought to live out his or her calling with joy and with courage. And then hope that the pastor's leadership would also mean that the congregation would live out their ministry, their ordained ministry as baptized people of God, with joy and with courage. Joy emerging out of God's invitation to live our story as part of the grand story, a part of the divine drama, the story of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness, the story of God's love that never goes away, that we never lose. We can't lose it. And then courage that comes also as a gift from God for telling that story, for witnessing to this marvelous truth of our lives. The bishop said, this is the calling of pastors and of all the baptized into ministry as part of God's church. And so day three, I wondered in my journal if it might be possible that I live out that challenge, if my ministry in the coming year and maybe for a few more after that might be lived out with courage and with joy. Fast forward 17 years. So I told you I wasn't going to go through every day. Fast forward 17 years through three calls with five different congregations, wonderful years of ministry in a variety of places, ministry with more and many wonderful saints. One of those congregations is this morning celebrating their 125th anniversary. Thanks be to God for that. And then I was in a church basement in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, with a few other church leaders. And there was another bishop there, Bishop H. George Anderson, who issued a challenge to those who gathered there. He said, and it was very similar to the challenge that was in the article that I had completely forgotten so many years back. He said, we need more people to help start new congregations. We have resources in the church, but we don't have the people. And I think behind that was a call for joy and courage. And it began to stir some things in my heart and soul, very preliminary. I didn't think that would be something that I would want to do. And then a few months later, Pastor Jeff Sorensen from the South Dakota Synod called and laid that in front of me, that they're looking to start a new church in the growing community of Sioux Falls, what I consider it. And then I wondered if God was up to something. But I had to ask if I really trusted in the story enough to make this leap. I really believed in what I was teaching and preaching. At least believe it enough to gather a group of strangers around this promise. And then could I trust that the Spirit of God would provide the courage that I certainly lacked to make something like that happen, to make a parachute drop into a community where we didn't know anyone. And for the first time in my years as a pastor, there'd be nobody there to welcome us into the community that already existed. And it was sometime in the middle of wrestling with this that the Holy Spirit got my attention with the words that you've heard, that we've heard again today from John's gospel. This marvelous section of the gospel that really begins in John 13. Jesus is gathered in the upper room with his followers for the Passover meal, Jesus' last Passover with them. It starts with Jesus washing their feet. And the disciples are dismayed, even horrified, that their master, their teacher, would take the role of a slave. And then he says, I want you to do this. I want you to act like this. As you've seen me do it, so you should do it. And then it goes a little further along. The disciples they've heard Jesus suggest that he was going to leave them. Something was going to happen. But it's clear now that it's getting close. And so you can almost feel the anxiety in the upper room, that they don't know what's going to happen. They're anxious. They're fearful. And then Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I will send you the Paraclete, which is this marvelous Greek word that's not easily translatable into English. It's translated all kinds of. It means comforter. It means counselor. It means advocate. It's the Holy Spirit. I will send her to you, Jesus says. And she will be with you. She will accompany you through what's next. And so be brave. The Holy Spirit will accompany you, will teach you everything, and keep reminding you of all that I have taught you. And then Jesus assures them again in John 15, the gospel you've just heard, I am the vine, you are the branches. My life flows into you, flows through you. Those who abide in me, those who remain in me, bear much fruit. And then he says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Imagine the God who loves Jesus. As God loves Jesus, so God loves you. So I love you with this great, incredible, everlasting love. And then Jesus says, I have said all these things to you. And I think he's talking about more than just that evening. In John's gospel, Jesus says things like, I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I have said these things to you so that my joy, my lasting joy, will be in you, and so that your joy will be complete. Complete joy. Now, a quick reminder, I talked a little bit about this with the kids, of the difference between Jesus' joy and how often maybe I don't know if it's popular definition, but the usual definition of what joy is. Pastor Randy Fredrickson reminded us this week at our aging forum that Jesus' joy is never derived from temporal things, but it always comes from our ever-faithful God. Or to borrow a line from one of my favorite poets, Carole King, it's the difference between a moment's pleasure and lasting treasure. Love that. I think she's talking about love. But joy is the difference between a moment's pleasure, or maybe even a season of pleasure, and lasting treasure. Jesus' joy is lasting treasure. And so I wondered, perhaps God might even do something in Sioux Falls. Might even create a new community with a handful of saints and sinners. Because God promises to send the Spirit of courage and joy for those who go where he leads. And what a great blessing it has been for these past 22 years to be part of the foundation. And the foundation is what we have so far. The foundation for a community of people living out God's calling in this way. Living out God's commandments in those ways, through hospitality and worship and transformation and generosity. That's all joy. That's all about joy. It's all about love, those things we put on the walls and on this banner behind me. And how grateful I am for those of you who have participated in so many ways to help Spirit of Joy become what God has made her today. And so I want a couple minutes of Lutheran aerobics, if you humor me with this. I'd like for those of you to either stand or raise your hand. Anybody here who is one of Spirit of Joy's pioneers, one charter members, those who signed the charter in the very first years? Are there some people here who you know there was first year? Anybody? Thank you for that. Hey, Joe. I saw you back there. Thank you. Any of you who have served on Spirit of Joy's leadership team over the years, over the past 20 years, in any role on the leadership team, would you please stand? I know a bunch of you are here who have done that. Presidents, officers, thank you for your leadership. Any of you who have served on any of our ministry teams, our building teams, our capital campaign efforts, other teams or of committees, would you please stand where you are? Thank you for your leadership. There's lots more. Thank you. Any of you here who have made music, who have helped make our worship vital and vibrant with your voices, with your instrumental talents, by leading our kids or by singing or by playing, would you please stand where you are? Thank you for your gifts of song. How about those of you who have participated in our faith formation work, whether it's with our littlest ones, it's milestones, our children, our confirmation small groups, our adult forums, men's, women's, family retreats. If you've participated in any of those things, would you please stand? A lot. Thank you. A couple more. Some of you are getting exercise. That's good. Those of you who have participated in any of our many, many outreach efforts over the years, who have served at the banquet, who have passed out food at Food to You, who have brought food for Food on the Fourth, we've served at the St. Francis House, Church on the Street, any of those kinds of things. If you've participated, would you please stand or raise a hand where you are? Lots of people. Thank you for that. And if you've ever come into this room or that room or the Jerstedt Center to worship and give honor and glory to God, please stand. And now you should all be up. You should all be up for that part. Thank you. Well done, good and faithful servants. Well done. And now it's time for Catherine and me to step aside from this ministry with great gratitude and much joy at this partnership. We will miss you. We will miss the privilege that you have given us of sharing your joys and your celebrations and your milestones, your struggles, your grief and your sorrow sometimes. It's necessary for us to step aside. That's how it works. For us to get out of the way and invite now Pastor Eric, who's been wonderfully patient this past year in this slow passing of the baton. I'm grateful for you, Eric. And for other leaders who are already in place, Eric and Hannah and John and Carly and Michelle and Heather and Eric. All the people, Madeline, those people who are in place, for them to take the lead, to continue leadership. But we will miss experiencing the grand things that God is going to continue to do with this congregation. And we know you are in good hands. Much has been written these days about the decline of the Christian church, especially in North America. We hear about the nuns, those who have no affiliation, We also hear about the Dunns. Those are people of my generation who have been part of the church and have checked out for all kinds of reasons. What I believe also to be true is that humanity's deep hunger for joy will not go away. We are engineered for joy. Pastor Renee said last week, she quoted that quote from Augustine, "My heart is restless until it rests in thee, until it rests in you, O Lord." That's just how we were made. But I fear that people try to fill that hunger with the moment's pleasure or a season of pleasure instead of this lasting treasure that Jesus came to give us. If Jesus is right about his offer of complete joy, then listening to him and worshiping him and following him and serving in his name will lead us to joy. And he will lead us to joy even through grief and sorrow. There's a passage in Hebrews 12 we heard a couple of weeks ago. Jesus, for the joy before him, and that joy was victory over sin and death once and for all. For the joy before him endured the cross. Even there and then there was joy. The late Rachel Held Evans wrote in Inspired, which was her last book that was published in her lifetime. She wrote, "We live inside an unfinished story, a story that began with the Spirit of God hovering over the primordial waters at the beginning of time. It took a dramatic, climactic turn 2,000 years ago when the same God became human and lived among us and beat death once and for all. We share this story with Mary Magdalene and the Apostle Paul, with Desmond Tutu and Nobel Prize winner Lamech Jaboi. We share it with the pastor who runs the soup kitchen out of the church basement and with the first guy in line to eat there every week. The stories that we tell with our lives are not meaningless absurdities, tragic in their brevity. Our stories are subplots of a grander narrative, every moment charged with significance as we contribute our own riffs and soliloquies and plot twists to the larger epic. And at every turn, the Holy Spirit keeps coaxing us along with an ever ebullient, and then, and then, and then." That's our story. Thank you, Spirit of Joy, for sharing the riffs and the soliloquies and the plot twists of your story in ways that has become our story. May the living God and the Lord of joy give you courage and joy in the next exciting chapters in this vibrant ministry. I'm grateful.